quenched my thirst. So Ephesians, as Andrew read, Ephesians chapter 5, if you have your Bibles, please open them and turn there with me. Or push your buttons to get there, whatever you got to do. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 10. Oh, yes, 1 to 10. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 10. You did find the scriptures? Okay. Thank you, Finn. Don't worry about following through. If I need you to flip somewhere, Finn, I can, but you can relax. Don't feel pressure. Does anyone like rules? Would you say yes, no, maybe? Maybe? Yeah. Yeah, I think it depends on what we're doing. Yeah, what the rules are for. But no one really likes the rules. We know that the rules are good. But at the same time, we don't always like the rules. But there is a place where there is good rules in the sense of the law is good and right and true, as Paul said. And he saw that it was right and true, and he saw that it was good and perfect in all its ways. But he saw that he could never fulfill the law. And when we're in Ephesians here, chapter 5, right at the beginning, keep this in your mind, the first verse, verse 1, as we go through this, and as I bring out what I believe the Lord has brought to me to bring to you today. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. The last part. So it's not about rules that you have to keep, because often we like to make rules, because then we think if we make rules, people will obey the rules, which the Pharisees did. They tried to make rules upon rules upon rules upon rules, and they totally took everyone away from what they were first supposed to be presenting to them. They took them away from God instead of to God. So our rules can hinder us at times, but at the same time, there is rules that are not bad. They're good. But don't make a pile of rules so that you can check it off and say, oh, I'm good and I've obeyed and I'm set. I have that seal because I made some rules for myself from the scriptures and now I'm set. That's not the way it works. Rules can be beneficial and we should not push away rules, but don't make rules in order that you can please God, because it doesn't work that way. So as we go through this, as beloved children, keep that in your mind as we go and dig deeper into this. But before we do, I would like to pray with you, because prayer is always good. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you again for each person that's here, and again for those who have not been able to come this morning or be with us or be a part of us here at this time. We have the Spirit that dwells within us, which is given to us as a seal, as an approval, and as a reminder of what the redemption is that we have, that is awaiting us when we have believed in you and put our hope in you. So I just ask that we would be uplifted here today, that we would be encouraged, and that we would be reminded of things that maybe we forgot about, or maybe we realize we should not have done, or shouldn't have, or could have, or whatever that may be. Just that you would teach us much this morning, and that our ears and our eyes and our hearts would be opened to understand the truth. And just let your word go forth. And I thank you again for each person that's here. And I thank you for the due diligence that has happened with the young kids downstairs. I thank you for Diane's heart's desire to listen to the Spirit, to do what she has been directed to do. And I thank you for those who have come behind her and supported her. And I thank you for those little ones and the ones that have been here and not been here. I just ask that their hearts were touched by the word so that they can make a life change themselves by putting their hope and trust in you, knowing that this earth will be passing away and that there is an eternity that awaits. Thank you, Father, for the grace that you show to us when we do not deserve it. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I had many thoughts as I went through Ephesians 5. I went to Ephesians 5, 1 to 21. It was kind of what I was reading for myself. And then I kept trying to condense it. And then I actually ended up getting quite small for myself to go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. I know in your bulletins, I did have Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 10. And we'll see how that goes this morning, what is, comes out with that. But the point is a new character will liken that of your Heavenly Father. And ultimately, that's what happens to us when we've been made right in Christ. There is a change that happens where we liken the example of our Father because we start to live like our Father, who is a loving Father. And that's the desire that we should all have in Christ and through Christ. And it should be able to be seen by others. Does it mean that we're always going to be perfect? No, it doesn't. Does it mean that we're gonna never slip up? No, it doesn't. And we all know that. And that's true. But the part that we need to grasp, I believe much of, is that we are beloved children of God when we have put our hope and trust in the Lord, when we have believed in God and been made new. We've come into the waters and we've come out new. Just as Israel went through the waters and they made it to the other side, they had to go through the waters. They couldn't say, hey, let's go around. We'll go over here around this side and we'll take this side, and then we don't have to go through that water because we may not be able to trust God that it's not dry when they went through the Red Sea when it was split. No, it's a miraculous power of God. That sea was split and they went through the waters to get to the other side because God ordained that that would happen for them, and they had to do it in order to get to the promised land. We know that there was not much faith or little faith that happens through the different times in the desert, but God cared for them all those years. I'm always reminded of that. The sandals didn't go bad, right? They always had food. He always cared for them. Yes, they didn't make it to the promised land because of their own foolishness, but he cared for them amidst that. So he is a gracious God, and he is much. And I just love in the Psalms too, what Charlie brought up this morning. Praise him, Psalms 148. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. His creation praises him. Man wants to praise the creation itself, not the creator. And that verse just really sticks out to me. Sun and moon, and there's many who over the years and today still too praise the sun and moon and give glory to the moon, but God is the one who created the moon and the stars. I listened to a thing one time with stars, and they make like a pulsing sound, and they put music with it to get a beat going. It was pretty neat to watch. It was kind of an interesting thing, and it worked. And it was just amazing to know that there are created things out there that praise God, because everything should be giving praise to God. But us men who have the opportunity to praise God don't always praise him. So praise him. Do not not praise him. A new character will liken that of your Heavenly Father. So I am excited to bring this to you, this message as well. And through the week, just read over Ephesians. Anytime you have the opportunity to do it, just read it. And even if you only read one verse, that's okay, because in one verse, you could see a lot of things that you've never seen in your entire life. I know I hear often from myself and from other people, they go, I don't know how many times I've read that verse, and I didn't know that it said that, or I didn't even realize that it said that. It happens. So take due diligence with yourself and study your scriptures and pray for your brothers and sisters. Something else I want to say too is that last week I gave an example with a skunk, a representation, an analogy that I was using, and I used names, and I just wanted it to be very known to everyone that the name Karen as being the skunk, Karen is not a skunk. There is nothing in her that resembles a skunk. She is a blessing to our congregation, and the Lord has really done a work on her life, and in the time I've been here, I've been very blessed by her. Numerous times. So thank you, Karen, for listening to the Lord, and thank you for being gracious to me and letting you use that and use you in that analogy, which wasn't actually purposeful. It just kind of came to my mind, and I had names, and then afterwards I started thinking about it. I was like, Karen works in a school, and like our Karen works in a school, and then I'm like, well, it's too late. I got to go with it now. So I don't know what. Yeah, whatever. My mind. So, another thing for you before we get deeper into this. My whole thing of saying all these things is going to get across in here when we get to the scriptures. You may have noticed or heard with our van, we have studded tires, or did have studded tires on it. And I hadn't changed them, hadn't taken them off. I had another set of rims, but I needed two more tires. And I kept thinking, well, if I'm going to buy two tires, why don't I just run these tires off? Anyways, so I found two tires, and then I put these two tires on. And now I do not have studded tires on our van, so it's not so loud when you're cruising down the road. And then to make myself feel good, though, I would always look for people who had studs, or if I heard them, I'm like, yeah, they got studded tires still on. I don't feel so bad for having studded tires. I feel pretty good now because they're doing it. Listen to them. But the reason I use that is that sometimes in our walks with the Lord, we take longer than others in areas of our lives. And sometimes when we know that we should change things in our lives, we look for others who are still doing it so that we can say, oh yeah, I'm okay to still be doing this. But you always know that you should not be doing that thing and that you should change it. So look to the Lord for help and strength in everything that you do and depend on Him. And don't look for others who will try to tell you what you want to hear or try to keep you in your stagnant stage. If you are around those people, run away from them and find other people and run to other people who want to encourage and uplift you and make you work in what you have been given through the faith of the Lord. A.W. Tozer, you may have heard of him, he said, when you kill time, remember that it has no resurrection. So be careful with your time. Use your time wisely. The work of the Spirit is there to convict us. The word cuts to the heart and it makes a change. When we have a higher view of God, we will lead a higher and holy life. That's why the scriptures are always beneficial for us, because we read them to study them, to comprehend them by the Spirit's help, so that we can see a high and holy view of God. And I don't think that we can ever make too much of God. And then in return, we can live a high and holy view. We can live a high and holy view. We can live a high and holy life for the Lord. And I want all of you to hear from God as we go through this and as you hear what I'm saying to you. So that's why I'm saying, read your Bibles. And I know there's many of you do. But if you're not and you've set it aside, pick it up and read it. Make time. Use your time wisely and study the scriptures. Don't set it up on a shelf and leave it there. Get what's in there. Grasp that knowledge that's in there. It's an opportunity to hear from God. If you want to hear from God, read the scriptures. He'll talk lots. He says lots. It's pretty thick. I know it's not a small book. But read it. Study it. When salvation happens, we all know, hopefully, there is a miraculous work that happens. It is miraculous. It's incomparable to any relationship that you have with anyone and anything of your life. It's amazing. Bringing up what I did with Israel, Pharaoh and Moses, when the whole battle was going on there, when Moses was going to take God's people out, when God chose him when he was 80 years old to go and lead the people into the desert, but they were supposed to go, they were being led ultimately to the promised land. Moses' great people come out and tried to do miraculous signs, but they can only go so far. And then God showed his power. And he showed his power even with their signs being shown. So Pharaoh was still nothing in comparison to God. Great ruler, leader in his time, but was nothing in comparison to God. And Moses was chosen to do God's will. So, God is magnificent, and He is all-sufficient. He is enough, and He is adequate to keep us holy and to make us holy. Again, I want to read the verse to you in verse 1 of Ephesians 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Every action has a reaction. I know we always say, or you hear that, or often people say that, and there's a reaction to every action. And when we have believed, there should be a reaction to the belief that we've believed in. We all know there's shadows in the world. And we can have relationships, and they can be like a shadow to us of what is to come. I use that in the sense of marriage. Because it's a working organism and it takes time to build. But it is a little bit of a representation of what it is for us with the Lord, because we are His bride and we will one day be with Him and He's coming back for us. But in a marriage, there is a joining together to become one, and you've made covenants together to stay in that covenant, to remind yourselves of that covenant, as Sean and Maureen had their renewal of vows just not long ago. It's a reminder of the thing that you said that you were going to do and the thing that you were faithfully going to follow after. As for us in Christ, we must faithfully follow after Him and remind ourselves often of the covenant that we made before God. But the only reason we made that covenant is because God did a work in us. Something for you to think about along those lines is, can you imagine, though, if you had your spouse and you only had a shadow of your spouse or your children? You only got a shadow of them. It would be difficult, right? But at the same time, if you had a shadow of them, you would want to always long to be with them so you could kiss and feel them and touch them to be in their presence. As we should long and feel to be in God's presence and desire to be in His presence and want to be in His presence. But before we get to be in His presence, He molds us and makes us. Could take 80 years for you. Could take 20 years, could take 30 years, could take 3 years, whatever the Lord chooses to do with you to mold and make you. Don't grow weary. There we go. Verse 2 of Ephesians chapter 5. It says, "And walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." I'm going to read it again. "And walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." We can try to make, coming back to my point from before, we can try to make rules for ourselves to do this verse. We can try to say, we'll do this and we'll talk to this person and we'll be kind to that person and we'll do gracious things to that person. We'll give some money over here, or we'll go to service 3 times a month instead of 4. We'll make sure that we got ourselves set up, or we're always going to be at service. Whatever it may be, we can set rules in our lives to do what we think is the right rule. But we need to remind ourselves that, verse 1, we are beloved children when we have believed in the Lord. So do you long to be with your Heavenly Father? So as we long to be with our Heavenly Father, we should desire to want to be kind to one another, tender-hearted in our words. As you can read through this whole thing here in 1 to 10, it talks about your wording not being harsh or coarse. Later on in verse 4, don't be crude with the way you speak to others. Does it mean that you can't joke around in verse 4 here? "Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving." Doesn't mean that you can't joke with someone. But we all know when you've gone too far, when you said something to someone and you said, "Oh, why did I say that?" We know when we've done it. And sometimes we like to go too far. We like to poke. We like to poke at each other and make that person get frustrated or angry. I know that the Lord dealt with me and still deals with me in this area where I like to poke at people sometimes so that they get excited. And they might laugh, but they're actually laughing because they might want to choke you instead of laugh because they thought you were funny. So we have to be careful in how we tease or how we do joke. It doesn't mean that there shouldn't be joking. Clearly God did some things that seem kind of funny in the way He presented things to us in different situations that others who had been chosen by Him went through. So be careful with your words, though. Be careful with it, because your Heavenly Father has forgiven you and sees you, and because of His forgiveness, He has made you a beloved child. He has adopted you into the family of God. So just watch your wording and walk in love. If you look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 6 to 7, It says, where are we here? Here we are. To the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Then verse 7, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins and trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. I want to reiterate this again. It says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. We have forgiveness according to the riches of his grace that was given to us through Christ when we realized that we were wicked in our sin because we have committed sin against the holy God. We have redemption and we have forgiveness. John Piper stated, God predestined that we would become children through a redemption, namely the redemption of Jesus through the blood. Now I would add to this for myself, now through redemption in the blood of Jesus Christ, we become adopted sons and daughters into the family of God. Therefore, we imitate what has gone before us, namely Christ, and his blood for our redemption as sons and daughters. Therefore, we imitate what has gone before us, who is, again, Christ. This makes it possible for us to walk in love because of the Spirit that lives in us. And because of the redemption that has been given to us. A God who dwells within man, that's an amazing thing in itself. There's many people that worship lots of things or self, but God dwells within us. He comes and dines with us, a dwelling. We need to make sure that we're living right lives. As we've read through Ephesians chapter 4 and as we've gone through it deeply, that we need to put on the new self. But in that, we don't make rules so that we think that we're right. We need to make sure that we walk in love because we are reminded, as it says, we are beloved children. It makes a change. When you raise your kids in a certain way and then you raise your kids in another way, if you do one thing that is not the greatest, you'll see that your kids live that and come out and do that. And then if you're treating your kids with love and respect, you're going to see a difference too in their responses to you. I know the Lord likes to work with me on that one, and how and what I say and how I speak and how I treat my kids or my own family. And it's good because I need to show the same thing that I say I believe. I must live it out in my own life with others. As it says, not to profane the name of God, not to blaspheme the name of God. Well, you can easily and do blaspheme the name of God if you live incorrect from what God has given you to do. So you're blaspheming his name by doing so, as Israel did in their own actions. They got lots and they said, oh, I'm going to flaunt it in front of everyone now. Instead of saying, I've been given much, so now I can give much back. A gift is a gift, and it is a gift that God gave to us. We did not desire to want him, but because of the gift of God and the Spirit that dwells within us, it gives us a desire now to want him. We need him. Ephesians 2:4, it says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. We are not characterized by God or to be imitators of God through rules. We are imitating God because of his love for us. A love so strong that it makes us children of the King and no longer children of wrath. We become children of a royal blood, that blood being the blood of Christ poured out for us who have believed. There is still rules. I want to get this across because it's the same thing with the law. I had a conversation. It's the same thing with the law. The law is not done away with. It will never be done away with until Christ comes back, until we dwell with him. The law is there, but we can never come and fulfill everything in the law on our own. But the law is there to show us our own sin so that we can then confess to God our sin against him. So when we realize that the law is good and true, it's a big understanding, because you're starting to realize there is a God and you're realizing I have committed sin. So then it's there for us to come to God. And then the Spirit that comes and dwells within us then gives us the ability to obey the law of God. Does that make sense? Because we can easily slip up there and say the law is no more. It's done. It doesn't matter is kind of what can come across. But it does matter, because it has a purpose, as we read in Scripture, that it's there to bring us to him. And then in return, it gives us, as Paul talks about even too, that it gives us that we then have the ability to want to obey it. We don't want to steal the Ten Commandments, right? It's not done. We know that we shouldn't steal. The world knows you shouldn't steal. Do we steal? Yes, we do. I don't now specifically. I mean, I try not to, but no. We should not desire to covet, but we do fall into those temptations. God does not tempt us, but they do come up. But we need to remind ourselves that we are beloved children. I know I keep repeating this, but it's a big factor in having a character after the likeness of your Father. Because if you don't understand the grace that has been given to you, you can't have the likeness of your Father. You can't. Otherwise, you become like a parrot and you just say the right things. But it doesn't mean that there's a life within the words, because it can come out of your mouth, but then you need to prove it, as James says. You need to prove that it's there. And it's not like, oh, I'm staying in a stand and you need to prove everything to me. No, you would live it out, because there is a character change happening. That was, we have seen in Ephesians chapter 4. The new self that has gone on, you're getting away from the desire to want to destroy other people. And when you have that desire that rises up, you should run the other direction and run fast. And Jesus says in Matthew 11:29, he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." We have the comfort of knowing it does not need to become a burden of rules in order to please God. As we seek to understand how to please God, it will give us a high view of God and will cause us to live holy lives. Just a couple other things. In verse 10, I know I'm just kind of jumping through here, but in verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 5, it says, "And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord." When you understand God's grace for you and you see what he has done for you, it gives you a desire of wanting to give back. But we can never give back anything perfect enough to God. But as we study the scriptures and as we desire to live a high and holy life before God, first of all, and then before our other brothers and sisters, and then before the world, and then we come into our families and our marriages and we try to live a high and holy life before God. If we have a right sounding, I could speak well up here if it was possible. I don't know if it is. But if I spoke well up here and tried to make myself sound lofty, or try to give you sound doctrine through the scriptures, but I don't have the life to back it up, my doctrine clearly wasn't working in my life, because I didn't believe what I was reading and studying through. So I need to make sure that if I have sound doctrine, my sound doctrine lives itself out in my marriage, lives itself out in my children's lives, lives itself out in my friends' lives, lives itself out in my family's life. And we need to think and take that for ourselves, because if we don't live out what we say that we believe, we are hypocritical. And then we profane the name of God. And it's always just good for us to just then come back and go, I'm caught in this, or if you're in this, and say, Lord, I'm having a struggle with my kids or in my marriage. I don't know what to do. You lay yourself before God and you put yourself on his, it's not an actual doorstep, but you put yourself on his doorstep. You come to the cross. That makes more sense. You come to the cross. You lay yourself before him so that you can walk in love, as Christ loved you and gave himself up as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God, so that then you can be a pleasing aroma to God, as Christ was a pleasing aroma. So let your doctrine be right and true. Before I do the benediction, I just want to end with this. Turn with me to 1 John 2:28 to 29. And we're not going to do the last song today too. When I do the benediction, then you will be dismissed. You're free to go. But 1 John chapter 2 verses 28 to 29. There, I found it. 1 John 2:28 to 29. It says, "And now," this is for those who have believed, "little children, abide in him, so that when he appears," because Christ is coming back, and we will be raised in glory to meet him in his glory, "we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him." Practice. Chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are." Then it goes on, it says, "The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him." It's fact. When we do know him, and when we come to an understanding of knowing him, there is a want to change from your old ways because you see that it's not the path you should go in. I want to read verse 3 one more time, and just this one part again. "See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are." I just love that. "And so we are." When you've believed, you have become and you are children of God. And it will not be ripped away by any human. God has stamped you with his seal, and he has redeemed you, and you will go through battles and trials and tribulations, and they may not always be great, and you may even die. But God knows what you are and who you are because he is forming you into him, his image. So let's pray, and then I'll read the benediction. Father, I just thank you again for the scriptures that we can come to. I thank you for the word that you put upon my heart. And I just thank you for all that you're teaching me. And I thank you for what I'm able to bring to this congregation. And I just ask as they leave here that they would remember that they are children of God. And if they haven't believed, if there's anyone here who hasn't believed in you, that there would be such a desire as they are here now to want to confess their sin to you. And to turn away, and to turn to you, and to turn away from a hopeless life, and turn to a hopeless life, knowing that there is full redemption in you, and that there is a God. When we look out, and I just ask that we would be reminded as well, as we leave here, of your beauty, even at the smoke being in the valley at this very moment, just reminded of your beauty in the midst of fire itself. You are the creator of all things. And I know there's many people battling this at this time, and I just don't know for myself what I can do physically, but I just come to you just asking that you would send the rain, that it looks like it's coming, that it could water it out. But if it's not that that is supposed to happen, and it is your will that this go on for a purpose and for a reason, I thank you. And in the midst of us, let us do what we can. And I just thank you again for each one, and I just ask you would bless each one of these brothers and sisters that are here today as they leave today and as they go about today and as they go about this week, that they would remember that they are children of a true in God. And again, those who do not know, that they would see how you are a true God. In Jesus' name, amen. It says in Colossians 3:23-24, whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive that inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Go in peace. You're dismissed.